Thank you, Jesus. Well, there I am. Here I am. Praise the Lord. I'm back again. You got your Bibles? Let me see it. What do you got that you can read the word off of? Your electronic device, your Bible. This is my Bible. This is the word of God. What it says, I believe. What it says, I say. Because I come into agreement with my Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. God is good all the time. I'm scratching on my shirt. One second. Let me go a button higher. Everybody gets it. Are you getting this on film? That I'm dressing in front of y'all. Okay, how's that? There I am. Praise the Lord. Okay, what are we going to talk about today? The Word of God. Amen. So if you got your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Galatians with me. I'm going to talk a little bit out of Galatians, not a whole lot. I'm really looking forward to Pastor Trey on Wednesday nights. He's going to be teaching the book of Galatians over a 13-week period. So I really encourage you to come be a part of that. So, in Galatians, I want to hit one verse, and then I'm going to run around a little bit, okay? Galatians chapter 5. I'm going to cut right into the middle of it to just get to the meat of it. And then we're going to jump off from here, okay? It says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. It says, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love." But faith working through love. Faith working through love. Faith speaks, doesn't it? If you don't do faith, you have to do faith. You can't just say you have faith. James says faith without works is dead, right? Okay, so you have to be proving that what God said to you is real. Are you with me? So we have to demonstrate what we actually believe. And I want to let you know, you're already doing it all the time. You're constantly demonstrating what you believe. I'm constantly demonstrating what I believe. Why? Because I believe it. That's why I'm demonstrating, because I actually believe it. Whether it's unto eternal life or unto sickness, poverty, and disease. Whatever I believe is going to be coming out of my mouth, right? Okay, so let's talk about that a little bit. Let me just settle down, a little groundwork. In the Bible, there are like five stages of growth for a man. All right, we'll say mankind. So you've got a potion, you've got a napios, you have a technon, and you have a weos, and then you have a pater. Okay, that's all Greek to you. Okay, so you got the potion. What does that kind of sound like? It's about the baby that'll potty on you. Okay. That's an infant, okay? Then you've got the napios, huh? That's a little older than a potion, but they can't talk yet. Napios means no speech, no speaking, okay? Then you have the technon. The technon is like the teenager, okay? Guns loaded, can't quite trust them yet, though. Then you have the weos, which is the fully matured son, the guy you can trust. He's grown. He's just like you. That's my boy. He's just like me. Whatever he says, do it. And then you have the pater, which is the father. Okay? So we have five stages of growth, okay, in the Greek. I would like to talk to you about one of these stages in particular. Okay? So that here's the thing. The way it is in the natural, it is in the spiritual, right? This is yes. The way it is in the natural is the way it is in the spiritual. First comes the natural, then comes the spiritual. So we can gauge ourselves by which stage we are in our development. Okay? Are you with me? Good. I can see that you're listening carefully. Okay, what's he going to get us into here? All right, it sounds like he's kind of hemming me in a little bit. Let's go to, we're going to start in Galatians. Let me just start in chapter 3, verse 26. See, faith works by love. And we have to really know and really get it settled in our hearts deeply that God loves us. I mean, really, I have met so many people, and even myself when I look in the mirror, that I can say God loves me. But when I experience an intimate relationship with Him, I am shocked at the depths from which I cry. Because I experience that communion love of God, which soaks so much deeper than just casually hearing these words that God loves me. You ever had somebody say they love you and you knew they didn't mean it? Mm-hmm. Well, I want to let you know, a lot of people have said it to you and you didn't think they meant it. Because a lot of people don't even know who you are. How can they say they love you if they don't even know you? You know? You may just generally blanket love because we're supposed to. You know, we're taught to. That doesn't mean you actually care about the person next to you. It doesn't mean that you would actually prefer them over yourself. That kind of love goes much, much, much deeper. And I want to let you know, I've dealt with a lot of inner healing. Lord, this is not the way you showed me it was going to go. I've dealt with a lot of inner healing, a lot of people that have been bondage in their hearts, okay? And I want to let you know, where the trauma and the drama lock you down in your heart, there is nobody capable of getting inside of that until you deal with it. No matter how much people say they love you, you will never receive the love. You're incapable of receiving the love because you have it locked down. Your heart is a prisoner. It's locked. Because you got hurt in that place, you don't ever want it to happen again. And so you put up a defense mechanism in it. And you create a vow and you lock it down, and that's just the way it is. And you can go throughout the rest of your life saying I love you or hearing words of I love you, and they never get into that spot where when difficulties come and troubles come, all of a sudden you feel like you're all alone. Why? Because you locked everybody else. There's nobody else in there. You locked them out. So you're all alone. Okay? And that needs to be broken down. That needs to be released. It needs to be forgiven. It needs to have soul ties broken. However you need to deal with it, that has to come down. And I want to let you know, it doesn't come down quickly or easily. It comes down by the Holy Spirit showing you that you've locked people out. Okay, you can't just decide, oh, I'm going to forgive, I'm going to be done. It doesn't work like that. It's like, you ever watered a plant? Of course you have. You know, you can water a plant, but then you've got to give it a deep soaking every so often. Do you know what the difference is between watering and a deep soaking? One, it's just on the surface and it gets in there. It's enough to keep the plant alive. But those deep roots, you need to let it soak to get down to those deep roots. We have to be able to receive the love of God in the depths of our being. The depths of our being. If we don't, we won't trust Him. We just won't trust Him because He's not inside of this thing here. And He's got to be, God dwells in our hearts. He's got to get into the center of who you are. Here's why. When you speak in your heart, you speak from the center. You speak from this place. That's where you speak from. But you've got it locked down, or not you, but people have it locked down, and they end up hearing what the Bible says, reading the words on the page, but it still hasn't reached them in their core. Okay? When we get born of the Holy Spirit, it is God's intention to reach us at our core. And He lives with us. And He nurtures us. And He speaks to us. And He comforts us with the hope that you'll go there. Okay? With that hope that you'll actually go there and get freed of those things. So that when you speak, you can actually speak faith that comes from the depth of your being, to where you're never dissuaded, you'll never change, because the core of who you are is the one speaking, not a learned behavior. Many people can speak the word out of a learned behavior, and they aren't getting results, and they're wondering, where's God? Okay? So we need to be real, to spend time in the presence of God, so that the Holy Spirit can soak deeply into our hearts, where we really live, so that He can walk into those troubled places with us and heal us of those hurts and that brokenness. Are you with me? Amen. That's from the Holy Spirit. I had no intention of going there at all. So He's talking to somebody in here, if not somebody's. Okay? Because we are talking about speaking life and blessing last week, if you were here. And it's very important that we speak everlasting life over people. Freedom and liberty over people. Seeing them from God's point of view and not from our earthly point of view. And if we just superficially speak the right words, we'll only get superficial results. If we speak out of our mind to people, you're only going to reach other people's minds. Because the depth from which you convey is the depth from which they can receive. Does that make sense? There are some people you can get in their presence and they will give you great advice. And you can walk away and say, he doesn't give a flip about me. He's just taught to say those things. He's been taught those words to say. And you can get around somebody else that you don't even know. And they can look you in the eye and say, God bless you. And it goes, wow, right down into the core of your heart. Because that person lives from the depths of their heart. Are you with me? Okay. So, Holy Spirit, is it okay if I go back with what you showed me before? It's not okay yet, okay? Talking about the five stages of growth, okay? Many of us have been on the earth for many, many years. That doesn't mean that you've actually grown in the spirit much, okay? Certain children, you can tell how old they are by the way they behave, don't you? You can tell that. You know, there's characteristics with each kind of child. Well, today, napios is the one I want to talk about because Paul addressed the napioses the most. He called those babes and children, okay? And I do want to take a minute and go there. Hey, thank you, Holy Spirit. Cool. He's letting me go. Praise the Lord. Okay, if you go with me to Galatians 26 of chapter 3, and I'm going to read down through. I'm going to read the whole thing down through 4:7. Okay? So let's listen for these words, sons and children, okay? For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have actually put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female. You are all one in Christ. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What is this promise? Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ from a slave, though he is master of all, but is under guardians and stewardship until the time appointed by the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Okay? So therefore, he's telling us that we are sons of God, that God's Spirit is in us, and that we have that promise. The promise is the Holy Spirit being in you. That's the promise God promised them, that the Spirit would be in them. So we've got that promise. Now these people here, even so when we were children, that's the napios, that was in verse 3. That's the ones that have no speech. A child is earmarked, this napios, by one that has, they can't talk yet. Okay? Go with me to Hebrews chapter 5. Verse 12 through 14. Actually, I want to back up. I'm sorry. I mean, I'm going to go to 5, 7, and we're going to read from 7 through to 14. Are you with me? Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayer, this is Jesus, and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him, who was able to save him from death, and was heard because of his godly fear. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered, and having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him, called by God as high priest. Let me just do a side note before I read on. Jesus was a son, and he still had to suffer stuff, didn't he? Mm-hmm. And it's not just the cross, because he hadn't gone to the cross. Vehement cries before God, who God was teaching him. God was teaching him, he'll teach all of us. Don't think you're not going to suffer in this world because you're a son of God. You have to learn how God operates. That means we have to learn to get our attention off of the flesh and off of the things in this world and operate by the Spirit. Okay? We have to learn how to do that, and it's not easy peasy. Sometimes our hearts are really linked into some of this stuff in the natural world. Sometimes we really have been hurt desperately by people, and it is not easy to let go of that stuff. But you have to purpose in your heart to literally void it out and not give it a voice, and then speak life. Let's go on. According to the order of Melchizedek, verse 11, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain. Why? Because you've become dull of hearing. Verse 12, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a napios. But solid food to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Napioses, the ones with no speech, do not know that they're righteous. They don't know how to speak from a position of righteousness. A napios does not have anything to say about it. Let me just hit that highlight again. You've come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Unskilled in the word of righteousness. You have not proven it to yourself yet. Pressed in through the veil. I'm not saying the you use. I'm saying the you metaphorically. Haven't pressed in through the veil and pierced the veil yourself to know that you are righteous, even as God is righteous. You do not see yourself yet from that point of view. If you're napios, if you still need milk, okay? You have nothing to say. You don't know how to speak the way God speaks. Okay? And these people were in bondage because they went back to following rules and ordinances and trying to follow the law again in order to please God, in order to be spiritual. Okay? So they went into works to try to prove they were mature or to please God somehow or be accepted by God. And we don't need to do that. Jesus did it for us. All right, I'm going to jump over to 1 Peter, then we're going to go to Ephesians. Remind me that I said that, okay? Because once I get to 1 Peter, I might forget that I told you we're going to go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14 and 15. See, I just committed myself. Praise God. 1 Peter 2:24. Ready? I'm going to start in 23. Sorry, Em. I'm going to start in 1 Peter 2, 23 and 24. Who, when he was reviled, Jesus, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. Who himself bore our sins in having died to sins. Why? Having died to sins, might live for righteousness by whose stripes you were healed. We use this scripture all the time that by his stripes we are healed. But what he accomplished here was by those stripes you became righteous. He took your sin on the cross, and because he who knew no sin became sin for you so that you don't have to pay the penalty for sin. He made you righteous. Let me read it again. Verse 24. Who himself bore yours and my sins in his own body on the tree, that we having died to sins, you and I died to sins, might live for righteousness by whose stripes you were healed. When you were made righteous, you were healed. When you were made righteous, you were healed. When you were made righteous, you were healed. Go with me to 2 Corinthians 5:21. I talked a little bit out of 2 Corinthians last week, right? About that we know no one anymore according to the flesh. Remember when I was talking about that? No matter who they are, we do not look at them according to the flesh, nor do we look at ourselves according to the flesh. Here's verse 21. Jesus, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. Right? Sounds like 1 Peter. That we might become the righteousness of God. That word might is not maybe, it's would. Okay? That we would become the righteousness of God in him. Let this sink in. We're doing a deep soaking today. Okay? You're righteous, the same righteous that God is righteous if you're in Christ. If you're in Christ, you are the same righteous that God is righteous. God, let me just see if I'm making this up, okay? For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. The righteousness of God's righteousness. That you would become God's righteousness. Let this sink in. Napiases don't believe this. They've got nothing to say about it. They can't speak from this position. A babe can't speak from this position. Go with me to Corinthians. Oh, you're in Corinthians. I think it's around chapter 3. Yes, chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians. I want to let you know the presence of the Holy Spirit is here right now with us. He's listening and he's with us. He really wants us to get this. He's making the atmosphere very conducive to receive this information right now. Verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual. Spiritual doesn't mean that you're spiritual. It means that you're not fleshly or carnal. Okay? Fleshly means you're carnal. But spiritual means you're not carnal. Okay? You're not carnal. I could not speak to you as not carnal people, but as to carnal, as to babes, no speech, in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able to receive it. For you are still carnal. And they operated in all the spiritual gifts, you guys. God withheld none of the spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are no indication of spiritual maturity. They're no indication of spiritual maturity. Okay? They're an indication of the love of God for others. That's all they are. It's God loving others. And you're the vessel he's doing it. You're the matchstick that the fire is being conveyed by. That's it. Okay? So look at, I spoke about this last week. Go to chapter 15. Same book. And remember, I read this to you. I'm going to start in verse 31 of chapter 15. We're going to focus on 34 for just a second. 31. I affirm by the boasting in you which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. If in the manner of men I have fought with beasts in Ephesus, what advantage is it to me? If the dead do not rise, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Awake to righteousness. And do not sin, for some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Knowing that you're righteous means you know God. Because once you get into his presence, he speaks for himself. His love overwhelms and saturates you. His comfort just like a blanket envelops you. His non-judgmental love of you just draws you into him. But we have to know that we are the righteousness of God. We have to let that sink in deep into our hearts. In this spot down in here where people get hurt and offended and taught all kinds of things and they shut this down, that's where you speak from. It's got to get to here that you are righteous. No. Let me just say, America, when they say they're righteous, does not mean what God means when he says you're righteous. What God means when he says you're righteous, he says there's no difference between you and me. We're one. There's no difference between us. We're one. We're the same. Listen, it's woven into our DNA and our cellular structure that we're not like God. Okay? Remember what it said in Hebrews? By exercising your senses, you have to learn that you're just like God. You have to learn it, that you're righteous. You have to really own that you cannot displease God. You can't do it. Sin has been paid for. It's been dealt with. As long as you want to know Him, He's available for you. But if you don't want to know Him, and you just say the words, but your heart isn't beckoning to know your Heavenly Father, you know, there's songs we sing that we're desperate for You. People can sing those words. That doesn't mean it's true. Your real attention proves that what you find valuable is what your real attention is on, what you consider is valuable for you, because you want more of it in you, so you put your attention on it, okay? Because we're created that whatever our attention is on is what we become, is what we are like. That's why we put our attention on it. We were meant to constantly behold the face of God so that we would be one like Him. Are you with me? Okay. Go with me to Ephesians. Thought I forgot. Ephesians chapter 4. Would one of you please shout hallelujah for me?
Hallelujah!
Okay, praise God. All right. I just needed a little comfort just then. Thank you for that. I'm only doing this right now, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. I'm only doing this right now because I really want us to be effective. That when we speak, we really speak what God speaks. Not because we are thinking about what God says in the Bible, so now I need to say the same words that I read in the Bible. But from this core portion of who you are, that when you speak from here, life and death are where? And these words that you speak, if you love them, the words that come out of the core of who you are the words that you love, because you're protecting them in the center of your heart. What you believe in the center of your being is the stuff you love, because you're keeping it under lock and key, whether you know it or not. And therefore, when you have inner dialogue with yourself, it originates from this spot, whether you believe it or not. So you're sorting out all the information that comes to you according to what you believe in your heart. Okay? That's why Napiosas have nothing to say, because they don't know how to interact with God yet. But once, if you have a child and they're at the age where they can start talking, they start saying what they hear, don't they? They start repeating what they hear at home, right? Ever been around a little kid that swore and you go, "Where'd you hear that word?" Huh? You never once thought that that child conceived that word on their own. They're repeating what they heard, right? When you speak from your spirit, you're repeating what you hear God saying to you in your inner man. And it comes instantaneous when you come into a situation. It doesn't come by intellectual calculating. Well, let's see, I read it in this verse right here, so if I say what this verse said, then I'm going to please God and I'm going to get this result. And then you do it and nothing happens, right? We have to believe in our hearts. And when we believe in our hearts, just go with me to Romans real quick, chapter 10. I will go to Ephesians. I will return to Ephesians, okay? In Jesus' name. Romans chapter 10. Just because I'm saying it, so I may as well just show it to you. I should use this podium. That's what it's here for, huh? Are you with me? Romans 10, I'm going to start in verse 8. But what does it say? This is an Old Testament scripture, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto what? Not with the head. You can read it and read it and read it that it's true. That doesn't mean you believe it. It means you agree that it's true. That doesn't mean you believe that's you. You have to believe it's you. Because, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Okay, a lot of people like to use that as a scripture to get born again. That is not what the scripture is being used for. It's about speaking. It's about who you are and what you believe in your heart, that you will speak out of that place. Go to Ephesians. Since your finger's there. When you believe in your heart, it will come out of your mouth. Whatever you believe. And in your heart, we have to believe that we are the righteousness of God. Not that we please God. That we are the righteousness of God. Remember in Hebrews, they did not understand because they were dull-minded. They did not understand the word of righteousness. They couldn't speak it because they hadn't pierced the veil themselves. It's to pierce and to cross over. You need to pierce and to cross over yourself so that you really know you are the righteousness of God. The devil has been disarmed and defeated. Your sins have been paid for on that cross. And in so doing, you were made the righteousness of God. You didn't earn it. You weren't born into it. Well, you were born again into it. But even if you know you're born again, the Bible says in Galatians, that even though you're an heir and a son, you're under governors and tutors until you come to the understanding of who you are. Okay? You'll listen to what Pastor Trey or me or Mitten or whoever you listen to on TV or in the internet. You'll listen to them to tell you who you are until you pierce the veil and realize it yourself. And once you pierce the veil and you realize it yourself, you don't have need that any man will teach you anymore. Except the Holy Spirit. Now we listen to men and we learn things and we grow. But when it comes to God himself, you don't need me to tell you who God is. Because you've pierced the veil yourself. And now God tells you who he is because you spend time with him. Are you with me? Deep soaking today. Deep soaking. Because we need to speak life and blessings. We need to speak as God speaks so we can get his result. That means in the depth of my being, I need to know that I am God's righteousness. That I am just like Jesus. That my sins have been forgiven. They're never brought up. I'm innocent. I've never sinned. So like Jesus walked on the earth and he never sinned. Remember that? Guess what you can say? God, I've never sinned. Wait a second. Okay. Wait a second. Robert, Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to get there. I've never sinned. How can I say that? I'm getting goosebumps all over me right now. How can I say, God, I've never sinned? How's that even possible? Because anyone that grew up with me might say differently. Huh? There's even scriptures that say if you willfully sin, you have an advocate. So let me explain this. In the spirit you've never sinned. As God's son, you've never sinned. As who you are spiritually for all eternity, your invisible man who's been born of God has never sinned. Because that's the life of Christ that's now in you. That's who you are, the life of Christ in the Spirit. The flesh man has sinned. The flesh man falls short. The flesh man is at war with the spiritual man. The flesh man will say, oh yeah, but you can't say that because of this and this and this. You agree with your adversary quickly. You're right. In the flesh, I did do those things. But I'm no longer in the flesh. I am in the Spirit. And since I'm in the Spirit, I walk in the Spirit, not fulfilling the lusts of the flesh. But if I cannot walk according to the Spirit, I'm automatically under the law and my sins are not forgiven me because I'm living in the flesh. Who actually did those things? But if you can accept the sanctification of the Holy Spirit by the blood of Jesus that moves you into the Spirit, and you can boldly say, I have no sin. Me and God are one, and there is nothing that can divide me or separate me at all from the love of God. Because I am sinless and blameless and above reproach in His sight. But if I do not walk according to the Spirit and identify myself as His son or daughter, which is a son in the Spirit, then I will fall prey to the voice of the enemy through condemnation, guilt, and shame, and remain a prisoner of my own heart, which will condemn me and shame me and void me and disqualify me. Because the flesh cannot please God. And so it always lingers in you that there's something wrong with you. That will kill you, the Bible says. The end of that thinking is death, the Bible says. But so many people feel it so strongly that it holds sway over their opinion of who they are. And they end up coming into agreement with the shame rather than with the one who bore your shame. You have to pierce the veil yourself that you are the righteousness of God. And when you do, you will speak as He speaks. You will be bold. You will be confident, because sin dwells in the flesh. This flesh is the Holy Spirit's temple now. Let the fire of God burn through this thing and burn out all the straw, all the wood, all the stubble out of it. And let it be a purified temple, purified by fire, that the presence of the living God can dwell here unashamedly. The matchstick is consumed by the fire. It's the food for the fire. This body has been prepared for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let it be consumed. Those issues of the hidden person of the heart that has held you prisoner, let it be consumed by the love of God. Just let Him have it. Let it go. Forgive. Release. The things that people have planted inside of you that you were not worthy, or that the devil did by trauma and terrorizing you, the fear that he's placed in so many people, let it be burnt up by the love of God. Just give it to Him. Quit protecting it. Let it go. That you too can pierce the veil yourself and stand on the other side boldly and unashamed. That you can say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. As He is, so am I in this world. The love that He has, I've received. So I can stand in front of Him on Judgment Day and not be ashamed even one lick, because I've received the love of God. Are you with me? All right. Ephesians chapter 4. It's redundant for me to go there, but I will because I kept saying it.
Hallelujah.
Oh, where could Ephesians be? Oh, there it is. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. Let me just go back. Sorry, Emmy. Can you back up just a couple more? Let's just read from verse 12. We know that 11 is that Jesus gave gifts to men, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers, for the equipping of the saints. Okay? Verse 12. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, to the measure of the stature to the fullness of Christ. You have to have pressed through and pierced the veil and crossed over the river to the other side to be able to have the full measure of Christ working in you. The fullness of Christ. That we should no longer be napios, no speech. Children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness and deceitful plottings. Listen, until you pierce the veil yourself, until you believe in your heart that by your words you confess and are transformed, that you are righteous, that you are the righteousness of God, that God made you righteous. I gave you 5 or 6 verses that Jesus bore the sin, that you become the righteousness of God. Until you pierce the veil yourself and know that, you will do these things. You will let other people tell you what's true in the Spirit. You'll let other people tell you what the kingdom of God is like. You'll let other people tell you your value before yourself. Until you get it yourself. But speaking the truth in love. Napioses can't do that. They don't have any speech yet. They don't know what to say. But when you do get it, then you can speak the truth in love. May grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, wait a second, that you can grow up into all things, which is the head, Christ, that you can grow up into all things. Hello, that you, I, can grow up into all things. You, until you and I can grow up into all things. Christ is all and all. Until you can grow up to all and all. Who? Until you can grow up to all in all. Till I can grow up to all in all. Hello. 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 Only God can do that. Until you can do that. Till you can grow up to that. And stop seeing yourself as a isolated, singular, detached individual who has guilt and shame, trauma and drama, and fear running through your being that separates you from God. You have to pierce it yourself. You have to be able to believe God and not just say what the words say. You do need to say the words until it gets deep into you because you're hearing things you don't believe yet. So you need to say it over and over and over and over and over and over until it clicks. That's why I said it. Jesus is so wonderful. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. That as you pierce the veil and are no longer living in the futility of your mind, but now you're no longer estranged from God, but now you have become one with God in your opinion of yourself. Not by what somebody told you. Your estimation of yourself is that I am the righteousness of God because of what Jesus did for me. I believe Jesus. The Bible says if I believe that God raised Him from the dead, I will be saved. In other words, only a sinless person can be raised into heaven and be seated in God. A sinful person can't seat in Christ. And when Jesus did it, that means God will do it for him. He'll do it for all of us because He gave us His righteousness. And since I've got that and I believe that, I can speak from that position now. Sin has no more dominion over me. I live under the grace of God now because I'm in the Spirit. And since I'm in the Spirit, I war according to the Spirit. I speak according to the Spirit. I not only live in the Spirit, I walk by the Spirit. I have crucified my flesh. I have set myself apart from my flesh where sin dwelt in the flesh. I now separate myself from that. Though I'm still in this container, I am not the container. The container houses me, and the container houses the Holy Spirit. The container no longer tells me what the truth is. I tell the container what it needs to do. The voice of the flesh, and I tell the flesh what it's going to do. Are you with me? It takes practice. You need to speak life and blessing and no longer look at yourself according to the flesh. You're an entirely new creation now. You are in the Spirit. Are you with me? So now we can speak from being in the Spirit, life and blessings. And we now are no longer affected by the atmosphere. I'm going to have to wind this down, Holy Spirit. We're no longer under the rudimentary principles and the elements of this world, the way the world rules and thinks. We now operate from the kingdom of heaven as citizens of heaven. We have to groom that idea about ourselves. We have to pursue it. We have to pray in the Holy Spirit. Our words are containers of the presence of God. As we praise God, He inhabits our praise. As we praise God, He inhabits our praise. If you want more in the Lord around you, praise Him. He's worthy of it. Praise Him. Because He inhabits your praise. So praise Him. You want more of the presence of God? Praise Him. He made you His righteousness. You're above reproach. You're blameless in His sight. There's nothing you can do that'll separate you from the love of God. Praise Him. And as you do, His presence will get stronger. And the revelation of who you are in the Spirit will get denser and stronger. That's called Christ being formed in you. Your hope of glory. And as you do that, the glory of God will get stronger and stronger and stronger in all of our lives. That when you walk into the room, there'll be a different presence. The presence of life and freedom. Where people know you're no longer looking at them according to the flesh. But you're looking them through the eyes of the love and the person of God. Because that's who you are. Be sons and daughters of God. Amen? I love you guys. I don't want to keep you too long because there's a luncheon today, but I want you to know this. Faith works by love. It really does. Love the Lord. Just dote on Him and love on Him. But realize, hold within yourself that you are the righteousness of God, and that's why you're being thankful. Are you with me? I'm going to pray. Father, I just thank you for everyone in this room that can hear my words, Lord. Everyone that's in the world that can hear my words, Lord. That each one of us would pierce the veil. Not with lip service unto you, Lord, that, oh, I accepted Jesus into my heart. If they did, then they did. But that doesn't mean that they've pierced the veil yet. It doesn't mean they really know that they're sons and daughters of God, righteous. Father, the Corinthians walked in all the gifts unhindered, but they never knew they were the righteousness of God. Father, wake up your body to your righteousness, that we can walk boldly with confidence. Never to allow a sin conscience to condemn us again, Father. That we walk by the Spirit. Father, teach your sons and daughters to sow to the Spirit. To speak words in the Spirit and not into the flesh, Lord. Jesus, I ask that a deep soaking would take place into everyone that could hear my voice. That these words would go deep, deep, deep into those hidden places of bondage and of darkness that have so long held these people prisoner, Lord. That each one of us, Father, can have a deeper revelation of your love. That we can walk unashamedly in the joy of the Lord. And I thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.